Now tonight we're just going to continue where we left off last week. So this is part two of the Ten Commandments for those of you who are not here. And today I want to focus basically on this question, if I can have the slide up, right? Which is, how do we obey God's commandments? You have the slides? Okay, so they need a bit of time to set it up. So I'll just continue, alright? So the question is, how do we obey God's commandments? And I believe that last week, as you heard the message, you have taken the message to heart, and one of the things you have done is that you have gone back and started to take God's word more seriously. But as you do that, I guess you also realize that actually it's not that easy after all to obey God's commandments. But I think it's okay, because this is really a community for us to come to learn together. How can we obey God's commandments? But exactly how, right, I want to phrase the question in another way, is how does God help us obey His commandments, right? Because if I can go on to the next slide again, right, Romans chapter 7, this is what Paul wrote. Paul, sometimes known as the super apostle, right, the one who was really a very powerful missionary. He says, "For what I do is not the good I want to do, okay, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep doing." Basically, he just find it very hard to do the right thing and keep on doing the wrong thing. So can you imagine, even so-called the super apostle struggled to obey God's commandments. And I think this is just a hint to us that all of us will need God's help. If not, we are not able to obey His commandments. You all follow me so far? Okay, so that's a very quick introduction to what I want to talk about, really trying to understand how does God help us to obey His commandments. And to answer this question, let me just get to the heart of the matter, which I think is really your heart. Okay, so let's look at Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. Actually, I think you're quite familiar with this verse. Last year when Pastor Daniel talked about the covenant series, he actually referred to this, I believe, at least twice. Right, so in verse 26, it says, "I will give you a new heart." Everyone say new heart. Right, we are going to look at this word quite a lot. So I can imagine like God when He says, "I'll give you a new heart," you know, or "I'll give you a new heart," with a your heart. Alright? He says, "I will give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit in you. I will remove your heart of, I'll remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." Right? So very simply, let me just state that God helps us obey His commandments by giving us a new heart. Okay, and let me give you an analogy, right? Some of us, you are very sentimental to your possessions, like your bags, your shoes, and some of us, they become old, they become dirty, so you are trying to wash them, alright? But it's not completely clean. But you tell yourself, actually, it's not so bad, because you're very attached to that pair of shoe, alright, or that Barbie doll or whatever, don't know what you are sentimental to. Okay, until the point where somehow, like for example, maybe a friend gives you a Christmas present, then you get a new pair of shoes, and you put your old one and your new one side by side, and you realize no matter how hard you try to wash your old one, it looks unclean compared to the new pair. You ever have that experience before? Right? So I think in the same way for us, we will not have a ability to obey God unless we receive a new heart. Right? We will not be able to come clean before God unless we receive a completely new heart for Him. And this is what His word promised us that He will give to us, right? Those of us who have come into what we call a covenantal relationship with Him, right? So it's very important to understand what this new heart means, because it's really what helps us to be able to obey God. Okay, I'm just going to go through a series of questions. Then after that, we'll be able to answer and you'll see the whole point. Okay, but let me just move on to another question. Now that we have talked about this new heart that God gives to us, I'm going to ask this question, which is, so what does it really mean to have a new heart? Okay, I'm sure you know, I don't mean like biologically, you remove your organ, and then He puts in a new organ, right? So to answer that question, this is where we go to the Ten Commandments, and today, we're just going to look at it briefly, and try to understand how Jesus Himself looked at the Ten Commandments, okay? Let's look at how Jesus, He interpreted the Ten Commandments. So there are ten. I'm just going to give you a few quick examples. So example number one, all right, Ten Commandments said, no idols. All right, that's the second commandment, referring to any kind of graven image. Right, that means you use wood, porcelain, you grave engrave an idol. But Jesus said, for example, you cannot serve God and money. Right? Because Jesus knows that our hearts are inclined to love many things other than just a physical idol. Right? We are inclined to love, for example, money more than God. Okay, let me just give you a few more examples, then I'll answer the question. Alright, Ten Commandments said keep the Sabbath. You know what Jesus did, right? He went around healing the sick on the Sabbath, and then he proclaimed, it is lawful to do what is good on the Sabbath. So I think Jesus knew that ultimately the Sabbath was created for us to hold on to God's will, not our own will. And whether is it your work or is it a physical day of rest, human beings, we have this tendency, right, to want to use anything to excuse ourselves from the will of God and to do our own will. Right, Ten Commandments say no murder. This one y'all should be quite familiar. But Jesus said anyone who is angry with his brother, or actually with his sister also, right, will be subject to judgment. And I think that Jesus knew that as human beings, we are inclined, right, to harbor things like anger or hatred or unforgiveness. Next, Ten Commandments said, no adultery. Jesus said, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And I think by this, Jesus knows that the innocent look that we sometimes have is actually not that innocent after all. Right? One last example, Jesus says, no coveting. Sorry, Ten Commandments says, no coveting. Right? But Jesus also told us, do not worry. Isn't that right? And why did he say that? I think it's because Jesus knew that sometimes for us, fear can just lead on to greed. So what am I trying to really say, right? I'm trying to say that when Jesus looked at the Ten Commandments, Jesus actually looked at the Ten Commandments as what I call a baseline, right? So how did he understood the Ten Commandments is that he saw it as a baseline. Right, the minimum or a base, right, or a platform like what I'm standing on, to examine what I call our sinful desires. You realize that most of the Ten Commandments talk about certain kind of sinful actions or certain kind of actions that you should do or not do. But when Jesus interpreted it, very often he talked about the condition of our heart. Right? He surfaced possible sinful attitudes that we might have. And so this is why I say that when Jesus looked at the Ten Commandments, he really see it as a baseline, right? It is just the start to something more. So in my mind, I'm thinking that Jesus sees what I call both sinful actions as well as sinful desires in need of change. Sometimes we only think that we need to change our behavior. But for Jesus, it's both the behavior as well as the desires. Are you all good so far? Follow me? Yes? No? Yes? Yes, very good. Okay, we probably might be about halfway there. Okay, but even though this is how Jesus see it, but actually not all of us might see it that way. Right? So case in point, actually in the Bible, you read about this story in Matthew chapter 19. There was a rich young ruler, and it's the same case for him. Right? To him, it's not about your desires. It's about when he went to Jesus, right? One of the questions he asked is this: teacher, what must I do to gain eternal life? So I think of his mindset is like that, right? If the Bible, right, or back then if it's Torah, if the Bible never say, then it's okay. Right? And isn't that true? Right? Maybe not for you, but for some of your friends, they will say things like, oh, if the Bible never say this one cannot, then it's okay. Ma. What's so wrong, you know, about, let's say, okay, maybe I mentioned a few controversial ones, like having a tattoo, all those kind of things, right? So we will say, this one, Bible never say, so it should be okay, right? Never say that cannot gamble and so on and so forth, right? So some of us, we have this mentality, right? That if the Bible never say, it's okay. But Jesus, he knew what was the heart condition of this rich young ruler. So Jesus began to ask him a very penetrating question. And he asked him, so young man, are you able to give up everything? And then what did the young man do? He turned away and just left. Right. So when Jesus asked that kind of question, he actually revealed to the young man, okay, his inner heart condition, his motivations. And then you realize that after all, this young man doesn't have that pure motivations. And I think that this point is something very important that I want all of us to capture, Because when you talk about your behavior, pretty much it's very straightforward. Right? But when we talk about our desires, our motivations, it is really something that is very difficult. Right? Sometimes as a member, talking back, years ago when I was not a pastor yet, I look at my pastors, I'm thinking, wow, this week I never, do my quiet time, I do a lot of bad things, I better not bump into my pastor, because I always think that pastors got this like supernatural telepathic kind of, understanding, they can know what you did for the whole week or what you didn't do for the whole week. Alright? So sometimes I have those kind of thoughts, right? But actually, it's not true, lah. Even as a pastor, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're thinking about, right? Because it's just human nature, right? Even for someone you're very close with, sometimes you are not able to fully understand what they are thinking about. So the inner motivations of our heart, the desires of our hearts are things that even if you do something good, but your heart is not right, nobody can tell, right? Or rather, it's very difficult to tell. Unless we ourselves are very open and honest to examine our motivations. Which I think, unfortunately, is not the case, because many of times we can be like the rich young ruler. We think that perhaps our life is pretty much in check because we have been very good in coming to church. We have collected a lot of Easter tickets and go out to invite our friends and so on and so forth. I'm not saying these things are bad, but sometimes we just look more at our behavior, right? So really, the thing that Jesus wants us, right, to glean from his interpretation of the Ten Commandments, I believe, will be to think about the need for us to have a change of heart, right, not just a change of behavior. Now in James chapter 1, verse 15, it tells us this is just my shortened version. It says that desire gives birth to sin, right? Desire gives birth to sin. So this is one thing we need to realize, right? Nobody sins randomly. True, there might be one or two times that you unintentionally sin, but on the whole, none of us just sin randomly, right? The kind of sinful habits that we may have don't become a sinful habit overnight, right? I'm sure if you ever talk to someone, right, who's perhaps even doing, right, what we call a big time crime, like rapist and all that, they won't become a rapist overnight. Like, just wake up one day, I feel like maybe I should be a rapist. Alright. So actually, it all starts with a process of first you having a certain kind of sinful desire, and then the sinful desire is being fed, and it grows more and more. Right? And it really tells us, we really need to understand this, that all sin begins with a desire. So, I think that actually the Buddhists got this right on this point, right? I was a Buddhist before, and I think that the Buddhists kind of get it right on this point, right? That all sin has a desire. And when we choose to let our sinful desires grow, or to let it go unchecked, what we do is that we feed it, and then we become more and more vulnerable to sin. And in this particular instance, the only way you can change is not just to change your behavior, but it's really to come to purify our desires. Okay? You follow me so far? Right? So sometimes, like for example, in church, right, for those who are what we call teachable, if you maybe struggle in certain areas, especially things like maybe wrong kind of intimacy with the opposite sex, you might have your leaders or pastors that kind of say that I'll put a certain boundary. Right, please don't contact the person from this time to that time. Right? And these are the kind of things that people can do for you. But when they do it for you, you only address the behavior. But if you choose to do it for yourself, choose to say that I will abide by my own kind of boundaries, that's a start really for you to kind of check your own motivations and begin to change things around. Right? So for myself, I really can't remember whether I shared this with you before. But I used to struggle quite a lot with anger issues, right? Having a very bad temper. I think I still do, but by God's grace, maybe not so much. And one of the things that I feel I begin to glean from this is that there's really something that changed, right? What changed wasn't the fact that there were less irritating people, or the people in my life were becoming less irritating. In some cases, I think they actually became more irritating. Right? What changed wasn't the fact that, some of my feelings of anger kind of like just disappeared. But I think what really changed was that I began to develop a love for God, as well as a love for people. Okay, so you can put it that way, that I used to have or still have sinful desires, but now instead, I also have what I call pure godly desires. So it's like, you know, you maybe only have one track, right? Last time for me, it's only one way. Anytime when something goes wrong, I just go by the sinful desires. I just feed the sinful desires. But now that I receive a new heart, right, I begin to love God more. I actually have another place, right? So when something happens, I can choose. Now I have a choice. In the past, it's just like flow along. Okay? So I think this is something that I experienced, and I think this is what actually it means to have a new heart, right? That when we begin to have this new heart, when God gives us a new heart, basically He's infusing us with godly desires. Okay? You get that definition? Right? There can be other definition, but this is just how I see it. That when God gives us a new heart, what He actually is doing is just infusing godly desires into us. His love, His goodness, His forgiveness, His kindness. And when we receive this new heart, a heart full of godly desires, this is also how God enables us to obey Him. Because like I said for myself, now each of you who have received this new heart, you have a choice, right? No longer just go by just feeding your sinful desires. Okay? And so at this point, I just want to talk about walking with the Spirit. Because it sounds like something different, but I'll link it back. Right, you all know that Pastor Daniel has been talking a lot about the Holy Spirit, and I cannot overemphasize how important the Holy Spirit is to us. Now, I started this message by talking about Ezekiel 36, where God gives us a new heart. Right, in the verse after that, God also says that He will give us His Spirit. So in God's Word, He says that He gives us a new heart as well as His Spirit. And why do we need His Spirit? I think the reason why we need His Spirit is that when we receive this new heart, right, when we receive the godly desires that I mentioned to you about, our sinful desires don't just disappear like that, right? So you really need the Holy Spirit to sort of literally hold your hand, you know, like sometimes kids, when we go out with our parents along the shopping mall, and there's a right path to follow, and there's a not so good path. And the not so good path usually is all the toys. We get distracted. We don't want to go home. Right? So the only way for us to go home is when our parents hold our hand and firmly just walk us back home. Right? So I think this is how, right, the Holy Spirit is given to us. To give us the ability. Because for us, from the day you become a Christian, all the way to Jesus comes back, or to where you are reunited with Jesus, you know, once you die, right, it will always be a constant battle of choosing these godly desires that I talk about, or choosing these sinful desires that I talk about. And even after you receive the godly desires, you still need the Holy Spirit. Right? So just to give you one last verse for today, right? I think this verse will explain very clearly the role of the Holy Spirit in this. It says here in Galatians chapter 5, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit." So talking about the sinful desires that I mentioned. "And the Spirit, what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want." But the verse that we all know, verse 22, "The fruit of the Spirit is what? Let's read together. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Right? And since we live by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. Right? The analogy I give you, right? To hold the hand of your parent, right? Keep in step with the Spirit. So God has already given us a new heart and His Spirit. Do you believe that? That He has given you a new heart and His Spirit? You should believe that if you have given your life to Jesus, because this is promised in His Word. But we do not automatically change, because there is still one small step that God has ordained for us. to take each day. Right? And that is the step that I talk about. Right? When your parent kind of walk you along in a mall, right? You have to choose to follow. Even though, of course, your mom and dad is very strong and can drag you all the way. Right? But when the Holy Spirit leads us, He is powerful, but He always, in His sovereignty, allows us to make a choice. So I believe that really every day, every moment of our lives, the Holy Spirit is with us. And in every situation you are facing, you are faced with the sinful desires, you are faced with the godly desires, the Holy Spirit is holding on to your hand, but you've got to make that choice, right, to just kind of be led by Him, right, to be nudged by Him a little bit more, right. So this is the picture of what I think is meant by keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. For those of us who are struggling with sin in a very obvious manner, or maybe even for those who are unaware, right, you may not be someone who's struggling with sin in terms of the sinful habits, but you know that in your mind, there are a lot of times where your attitudes, where your motivations are not quite right, are not quite of God, right? This is where we really need to remind ourselves that we need to follow the Holy Spirit, right? And maybe one question you might ask is that, then how do I practically keep in step with the Holy Spirit? I think this will probably take me a while to explain, so it will probably be another sermon of its own. But for now, I think it will suffice for me to say this, is that if every day you choose to read God's word, you pray, and whatever He says to you, right, you choose to obey, I think that's a good step to begin, right, for those of you who haven't been intentional in walking with the Spirit yet. Clear? I know this sounds like oversimplifying it, but actually this is really one of the many things that you can't make it complex. It's just that simple. Like, there are people who ask me, like, you know, so how do you really know what God is saying to you? And when I think about it for myself, when I think about maybe even some of the great people, men of God that we know of, if you ask them, they will still answer you in the same way. That is really, you choose to spend time with the Lord. You make it a point to obey whatever He says to you. You just be faithful in what we consider the small things. And more your heart will be attuned. And then you will realize that more and more you are walking with the Spirit, right? And if you really learn how to cultivate this life that I'm talking about, the life of being led by the Holy Spirit, of being walking with Him, keeping in step with Him, I think this is then when, even for those who are struggling a lot with different kinds of issues, you begin to experience that breakthrough. You know, I sometimes talk to some guys, I'll just give them so-called an analogy. I say that, you know, if you guys are struggling with vulgarity or if you are watching porn, right? Like, how many of you will actually, like, watch porn or speak vulgarities in front of your parents, right? Or in front of your pastors? No, right? No matter how much you struggle, you probably wouldn't do it in front of your parents. I mean, I've seen some youths, not watch porn with me, but they, you know, just use the flowery language in front of me. I think that one have. But most of the time, you feel like something is wrong, so you must control yourself, right? Right? So, to me, it's like, okay, so if guys, if you are so conscious of God, that if you keep in step with Him so much that you know that at home, in front of your computer, God is actually with you, do you think that you'll still be watching those things? I don't think so. Right? Because I know that when we watch those things, you really have to mentally kind of have to check God out for a while. Hey, God, can you please, excuse me, give me a bit of privacy. You know, lock you outside the door. Right? Both the door of your heart and the door of your room. Right? That's what we do. So to me, is the more you are aware of the Spirit's presence, the more you'll find, you gain the strength, right, to turn away from your evil desires. It's really that simple in that sense. Okay? And these spiritual disciplines, it's really a matter of us learning how to develop intimacy with God. It's not to so-called make you feel like you're a better Christian, right? That you have some merit to gain from the Lord, but it's really to draw you close to the kind of extent that I'm talking about, right? So I just want to kind of wrap up by saying that the key points of us learning about the Ten Commandments is to really understand, not just for the Ten Commandments, but it's to understand for the whole of the Bible. That when God gives us His word, He's not just telling us, do this or don't do this. But when God gave us His word, He's helping us, first of all, to know Him, Like last week, what we said, right? God is a what God? A jealous God, right? He will go all out to pursue our love for Him, right? And in the midst of doing that, when you begin to take God seriously, right? What I shared with you today, as we begin to take God seriously, we know, right, that we can't just think about the sinful actions that we need to change. We need to start, allow God to start from our hearts. Because He has already given you that new heart, but you need to also allow Him, right, to identify for you what are the sinful desires. And when you do that, right, you have to choose which path to go. Every day is a new day for you to choose. Even for me, until today, I'm constantly choosing. And the thing that we can rejoice is that God has given us His Spirit. Right, when the Spirit comes, He's not just like somewhere out there, you know, in the clouds, but the Spirit is literally, though you can't see Him, but it's literally holding our hand and walk with us. That's what the Holy Spirit does. But you have still a small part to play, is that as He holds your hand, He takes you one step at a time, you also need to keep in step with Him. Okay? Simple enough to understand? Right, as the worship team maybe get ready to close the service with me, I just want to end off by sharing this quick story. Now, some years ago in one of the cell groups I led, there was this pre-believer, right, who come to my cell quite regularly. So you know that we have been encouraging you to reach out to your friends and all that, right? Easter announcement, yeah, and so on and so forth. So very interesting, this brother keep coming, but for a long time, I was actually very clueless in how I can share Christ with him and bring him to Christ. So to cut a long story short, one day I shared with him about my own struggles. I shared with him like how I was struggling with masturbation, how I received a certain breakthrough in my life. And actually that was what it took for him to say yes to give his life to Jesus. So why do I want to share this with you? The reason why I want to share this with you is that, you know, actually, all of us, we want to love our friends. We want to reach out to them. You know, sometimes we are thinking about things like, okay, let me just try to figure out some of the questions my friends might ask me. Maybe they might ask me like, you know, did God really create the world? And even if God really created the world, then who created God? Right? So you heard of those kind of questions before and you're a bit stumped, perhaps. Now, I'm not saying these kind of questions are not important. They are very important. And by all means, we should read up and educate ourselves for them. But I know that sometimes we get stuck over these things and we just stop short. All right? So I want to encourage you, as you are continuing to learn maybe about apologetics, you are growing in different areas and so on and so forth. One thing definitely you can start doing is to share your testimony. Right? Because ultimately, it is your testimony that will help your friend understand how real Jesus can be. Not just in a Bible, but in your life as well. And today when I share this story about the pre-believing friend who came, I'm telling you that when we think about testimonies, I know sometimes we hear in church testimonies like, wow, people, you know, miraculously healed, God miraculously providing finances. We even had people raised from the dead before, right? And I think those testimonies are fantastic. Right, but sometimes we feel we don't have a good enough testimony. But today I'm sharing this story with you to let you know that even if you have a testimony of yourself maybe having struggled in some ways, but you overcome by the grace of God, this is a very powerful testimony. Because for many of our friends, they may not call it sin, but I'm sure many of them are looking at their own lives, not just their actions, but sometimes even the kind of thoughts that they are struggling with. They are looking for someone who can truly change them. And you have the answer. Amen? So, I want to say this. God is waiting for you. He's wanting to change you for your own sake. But there are also a lot of people out there waiting for us, the disciples of Jesus, to be transformed so that our message can bring them to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Shall we just quietly rise and invite you to just maybe take a moment to close your eyes and just allow the Holy Spirit right now to speak to you. In a few moments, I'm just going to ask Marcus to lead us to respond to the Lord in worship. But before I do that, I just want you to take this time, right, to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you this specifically. Are there any sinful desires? Might not be the outright sins that we even think about sometimes. Are there any wrong desires that you have that the Lord wants to help you to overcome tonight? And are there godly desires that you really need the Lord to cultivate in you? And as He shows you, just begin to ask. Because He hears you. So let's just take a moment to do that. And as you are doing that, I don't know if there are any non-Christians in our midst today. If you are, I just want to quickly tell you that, you know, my friends, you know, I know I've been a non-Christian before. Right? So sometimes I also look at Christians, I will like, do they really mean what they say? The truth is that sometimes we don't mean what we say, right? We are imperfect. But the thing is, the truth, the greater truth, is that we have a God who sees our imperfection. He loves us so much that He's willing to accept us in that manner. But He also loves us so much that He gives us the means to be more like Him. And today, when I talk about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God Himself that is walking us through, it is possible for us to have His Spirit with us. It's because Jesus, He gave His life for us, that the Spirit of God may just be able to dwell with sinful men. So tonight, even if you are not a Christian, you can respond to the God, the Lord. You can ask Jesus in the same way to show you what are the desires in your heart that is not right, that you want the Lord to help you to overcome. And you too can begin to ask the Lord to fill you with a new heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So as the worship team leads us, if you are really sensing that there are specific desires that you want to surrender to the Lord, or there are specific kind of godly desires you want to receive from Him, I just ask that wherever you are, you just raise your hand and just begin to let that be a sign to the Lord that I want to release to you, or I want to receive from you. Thank you, Lord.
Destiny. sin, but he suffered as if he did. Now all authority, every victory is yours. All authority, every victory.
Have motivations in our heart that have not been pure. Right? The Lord knows, and the Lord wants to deal with that. Right? But God also ordained in such a way that we have the community of Christ. So if you know that you are struggling, besides praying to the Lord, I want to really encourage you, right, to learn how to invite people, could be your leaders, could be your parents, or mature brothers and sisters in Christ, in yourselves, to really learn how to share with them, to ask for their input, or maybe even ask them to keep a watch for you, right? This is really how we grow, not just in the prayer, but in community to be more and more like Jesus. Is that okay? So after the service, if you think you need that, do find someone to talk to. If you think that you are more comfortable with talking to someone at the altar will be open for you as well. If you're not a Christian, we also want to encourage you. If today you really want to know about that Jesus, maybe you can ask your friend, right, who brought you here, or you can, same thing, come to where I am. We can just share a bit more with you. Okay? So before we go, let me just bless you. Father, we really want to thank you for this journey that we have to understand from your word who you are, what kind of God you are, your heart for us, and what you have done for us in order that we can obey you to be more and more like Jesus. Not just to be people who are pure in action, but to be people who are pure in heart. And we believe that as we do that, that many more people out there will be really seeing this Jesus. Sometimes, Lord, we are at a loss how we can reach out to them. But we really say that as we learn to be more and more vulnerable and open to you and to one another, as you make us the kind of people that you want us to be, that we can be empowered to share our testimonies, and people shall come to know you, Jesus. So we thank you that you are truly such a wonderful God, that all that we need, all that we desire from you, that you have already given to us. So we thank you, and all God's people say, amen, amen. Remember, next week there's no new service, right? But the following weekend we will have Benny Prasad. So do make it a point to invite your friends, but do reach out to them, right, on your own as well before you invite them. Okay, we'll see you next week.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruz.org.sg. God bless.